Father, we come before you today, giving you honor, glory, and praise. We want to say thank you, Lord, for being God and God alone. We thank you for waking us up another day, waking us up in our right mind. We thank you for waking us up, Father God, in this country of freedom and liberties. And how you have blessed this country, oh Father God. We thank you for that. But Lord, as saying that, we have to ask you to forgive this country. How far we have come from one nation under God. Lord, we need a blessing in this land. And the only way, Father God, we can turn away from these wicked ways that we're going through is to pour out your spirit upon this land. That we will fall to our faces and call out to you, O Father, and repent for what we have done in this nation. That you will hear our prayers and heal our lands, O Father. Lord, we pray for the unborn babies. We pray for those, Father God, who are the mothers are planning on murdering their babies, O Father God. We ask that you move upon their hearts and change their minds. Lord, we know every conception is from you. No one conceives unless you allow it. And Lord, you have a purpose and a plan for everyone, Father God, that you have allowed to come into this world. So Lord, we pray for the unborn. We stand with them. We pray for our military, our police, our firemen, our first responders, our medical professional, Father. We'd ask that your hands would be upon them. We pray for the homeless and the hungry tonight. The day, Father God, that you provide for them, the helpless, hopeless, and the hurting. Lord, be with them. Those who are planning on suicide today, Lord, feeling hopeless and helpless. Lord, we ask, Father, that you will move upon their hearts and stop them and let them know that they're loved and valued and that they have purpose. We pray, Father, for our government. Create a clean heart and renew a right spirit in each and every one of us. Them and us too, Father God. Put godly people in every area of their life and let them seek wisdom for you. Lord, we pray for the nation of Israel this morning. Lord, we know that's a terrible thing that happened over there yesterday and today. All the hundreds of people who have been killed and kidnapped and injured, oh Father. We ask, Father God, that and we know that that's your chosen land. You said you will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. So Lord, I thank you that we're standing with Israel. That we will be a partner of Zion, oh Father God. And stand with them and pray for them. So, Lord, in the days and the nights and the week to come, oh, Father God, we just ask that your hand will be upon them. And those who are been kidnapped, and Lord, we ask that you bring them home safe and sound. And those who have been injured, oh, Father God, we ask for a complete and quick healing for each and every one of them. Just have your way, Father. We ask, oh, Lord, that every word that come forth out of my mouth today, Lord, will be of you and not of me. You must increase in my life, Heavenly Father, and I must decrease. Lord, just have your way. Let it be no disturbances, no hindrances. Let us not walk out the way we walked in, oh, Father God. Give us a rhema word, a right now word, a word that will transform our lives, oh, Father, that we can continue to walk in the image and the likeness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, just have your way. We pray for those who are grieving today over lost loved ones and family members, oh, Father God, and property. Just be with them, oh, Father God. Just have your way, and we pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Kids, go to Children's Church. All the kids. Yeah, you can take them down there. Take them on running. They have real good treats down there, so y'all need to go. Praise the Lord. And as the kids are dismissing, I love these kids. You know, I love these kids because, once again, they're our future. And we need to train them up and teach them about the things of the Lord. Yes. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Mark, Mark 10, and while you turn your book to the Mark 10, I'm going to read something out of Deuteronomy 30:19. I have set before you life and death, says the Lord. Blessings and cursing. Now choose life. That's in Deuteronomy 30:19. I'm going to read that again. I have set before you life and death. He's talking about us. He set before us life or death. He says, or blessings and curses. He said, now choose life. You know, our words are very powerful. Do you know that? Our words are very, very powerful. We need to be careful about what we say and who we say it about. You know, he said, I'll set before you. So what he's saying is, I have given you power and authority to speak life. I've given you power and authority to speak blessings. But sometimes we forget that, especially when we're in the midst of our troubles and in the midst of the storms of life. We forget about that God has given us that power to speak life and to speak blessings on ourselves and on others also. We need to remember that. Something that I wrote down here, it's been several weeks, and I say this, Lord, what do you want me to do today, Lord? Lord, what do you want me to do today, Lord? And then I wait to hear what he has to say to me. And then I say, Lord, how do you want me to do it? What do you want me to do and how do you want me to do it? I know you want me to show love. I know you want me to show compassion and mercy and grace and kindness. And number three, when do you want me to do it, Lord? Sometimes, you know, the Lord will want us to do something, but it's not until he wants us to do it. You know, so many times we want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it. But we need to wait upon the Lord for him to direct us and guide us. And last, how can I best represent you today, Lord? How can I best represent you today, Lord? So the world can see that you are alive, that the world can see that you are true. You know, all of us have come out of darkness. All of us have had a past of sin and iniquity. Every one of us. But God brought us out of that. And we need to let people know about that. Not only with our words, but with our lifestyle, with our actions. How we act. We're not perfect. We all have issues and struggles, don't we? But there should be something about us that's different for those of us who call ourselves Christians. There needs to be something different about us. The Bible says, come out from amongst them and touch no unclean thing. Come out from amongst who? The old lifestyle, the old sinners, the old people that you used to hang around with, that you used to get high with, drug and drunk with, and all that kind of partying and stuff. If they're still doing it, come out from amongst them and speak life to them and speak blessings to them. Let them see the power of God in our lives. Amen? Instead of being the same thing that you were before you professed to be saved. I have set before you life and death or blessings and curses. Now you choose life. I don't know about you, but I'm going to choose life. I'm going to choose life. Even in the midst of the storms, I'm going to choose life. Matthew 10:46. And we all know this account here. Jesus was on his way to the cross. He was on his way to be crucified. He was on his way to do what God had called him to do. Even though at that weak moment in his life, when he was at the garden, he said, Lord, he said, can we do something else? Paraphrasing. He said, can we do this another way? Because I know what's ahead of me is suffering and pain and torture and death. But he says, nevertheless, Lord, thy will be done. Lord, I know what's in front of me, but it's not about me. It's all about you, Lord. Remember that. It's all about you, Lord. Mark 10:46. So he's on his way to cross and says, and verse 46, it says, and they came to Jericho, talking about him and his disciples. They came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with the disciples and a great number of people. There was a lot of people around him. Wherever Jesus was, there was an entourage. A lot of them, they were following him because they believed in him. A lot of them followed him because they were curious of him. A lot of them followed him because they wanted something from him. We need to follow Jesus because we love him. Not because we want to get something from him, but because we love him. He said, the first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. And the second one is what? Love your neighbors, you love yourself. You know, there was a time in my life that I would not be standing up here talking to you in a kind way. Let's say that. I might be talking to you, but it wouldn't be in a kind Christian way. But when God got a hold of me and he gave me a new nature, he changed me. He changed me. He changed you. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. All he's waiting for us to do is just say, Lord, I need you. I need you. But it says, and there was a great number of people that went with him. And there was a blind man. He was blind from birth. We all know blind Bartimaeus. And some of the other Gospels that has, there were two blind men. But Mark, he just wanted to concentrate on this one. Blind Bartimaeus was his name. The son of Timaeus. And, you know, as I was studying this and I was going through some of my commentaries and things, they said that his father was blind also. So we have a blind father who had a blind son. And it says the son of Timotheus sat by the highway side begging. He was begging. Why was he begging? Because he had a need that he could not fulfill. He couldn't work. He was blind. So he had to depend on the generosity and the alms of other people to be compassionate to him. As he was sitting by the highway side day after day after day, you know, asking for money, begging for money. Let me tell you something. When you're in a desperate situation like that, you don't have that pride in you. And you know why? Because you have a need. You have a need. Matthew 5 and 3 said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The poor in spirit means that we are beggars. The poor in spirit. And we know that we need Jesus Christ in our life. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Because if you're not poor in spirit, you think you can do it on your own. Self-sufficiency. How many of us throughout the years have done stuff on our own and we ended up in a mess every time? Over and over and over and over, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. You know what that definition is, don't you? Insanity. And I don't see anybody here that look insane. Well, James, you and your fiance, y'all here for the first time, and Bill too, I want to say something. You know, our church is what we call the Whosoever Church. And everybody, turn around and look at everybody and think. Turn around and look at them. They all have issues. Every one of them have issues. So if you have issues, you're in the right place. We're a church of issues. But you know what? A church without the broken is a broken church. The church without the broken is a broken church. And we're not a broken church, because what we do, we receive the broken, we receive the outcast, we receive those that are least likely to be loved. There's nobody that ever walked through that door that has not been greeted. And, you know, I was talking to Elder Paul here the other day. I said, we need to start back our meet and greet. I miss that. Amen. I miss that. You know, well, we would before the service, we'd take a few minutes and go around and meet and greet one another. And, you know, and I'm a hugger. So when I go around and greet you, you know, I'm going to hug you. But if you don't want to get hugged, just stick your hand out and move back like that. And I might just grab you. But anyway, I think we're going to start that back again. You know, I know they're talking about, you know, things are starting back up with this stuff here, you know. But we're going to believe that God is going to keep us safe. So I think maybe next Sunday we'll start with a meet and greet. And also next Sunday is Testimony Sunday. Y'all remember that? Next Sunday is Testimony Sunday. We will have people giving their testimony next Sunday. So there will be no preaching or teaching next Sunday morning, maybe. But we're going to be sharing our testimony. I know some of you have said, I'm ready because I got a testimony. And for those of you who don't know what a testimony is, it's what God has done for you and got you out of different situations, whether it was healing, whether it was deliverance from alcohol, drugs, pornography, or whatever it was, or God has blessed you in your life in so many other different ways and delivered you from something. People need to know how God has blessed you. You might have lost a loved one, and God has brought you through that, and is bringing you through that. You know, We're going to be having a service here a Wednesday. Young lady, she lived right across over here at the Woolworth building, you know, and her son was Samson, who was a member of this church for many years. He was adopted by Pastor Bob, my assistant pastor, and Donna Thomas, you know, and he lost his mother. But they're going to have the service here a Wednesday at 4 o'clock. But I just want to say, you know, how God blessed, as I was talking to the family, you know, the mother, you know, and the sisters and Samson. I say, let me tell you something. You'll never forget it. But God will get you through it. And I say, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you how I know that, because I lost a son. It was one of the most horrific things that ever happened in my life. You know, because it's not natural for your child to go before you. But we know what happens, don't we? We know what happens, don't we? So I was able, and still am, ministering to them. You know, it's hard on them. But I tell them, it's only through Jesus that's getting me through it. It's not alcohol, it's not drugs, not Dr. Phil and Oprah. It's Jesus Christ, period, that will bring you through that and will keep you through it. And I know some of you have lost children. Some of you have lost loved ones, you know, family members, close family members. So y'all know what I'm talking about. But God has comforted you so you can comfort others. That's why we need to share what God has done for us, so we can comfort others. I done got off what I was going to say this morning. All right. Let me get back to it. Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus. All right. And it says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, when he heard it. Now, you know, for those who have lost sight, lost hearing and whatever, you know, your other senses heighten. They heighten. When you lose your hearing or your sight or something, your other senses heighten. So he had a heightened sense because he was blind from birth. From birth, he never seen the sunrise or the sunset. Never saw his father or mother's face. He was in the dark all of his life, sitting at the roadside begging for alms, begging, you know, to eat and sustain himself and to depend on other people. Let me say something. We have so many homeless people in this area. I've never seen this many homeless people in this area before. And from what I understand, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Now, I'm going to say this here, but you need to use wisdom and discernment. When you see somebody in need, we need to help them. Amen? So many times when you see somebody that might be homeless or might not look like you, you just walk right by them and turn your head. You know, there's people out there that have a need, but then there's others out there that don't have a need, but they're out there begging and doing so. So that's why you need discernment and you need wisdom. And I meant to say this here last week. If anybody come up to you and ask you for money in this church because they're hungry or homeless or whatever, please come to me. Please come to me. You know what I mean? Because sometimes people will take advantage of you because they know that we have kind hearts. They know that we're generous and we have compassion. And a lot of times the money that you give them, they go straight next door to the dope dealer or to the liquor store. And we don't want to be doing that. But if somebody really needs, have a need for something, you know, instead of giving them money, get them a gift card. You know, get them something where you know they can go get something to eat and not buy alcohol or drugs or whatever. But come to me, and because I know a lot of people, and a lot of times I know something about a person that you might not know. So come to me or come to some of the elders or whatever, so we can make sure when we do, not if, but when we do extend generosity to people, it will go for the right cause. Amen? Then it says that when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Why did he begin to cry out? because he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He had heard in the past the different accounts and things that Jesus had done for other people. He had heard that. He never met Jesus, but he heard about him. Do you hear what I'm saying? He never met Jesus, but he heard about him. And what he heard about this man was he was his only hope. He was his only hope. He had been blind for all of these years, all of his life. And now he heard about a man that had healed the sick, opened up the eyes of the blind man, raised the dead, cast out demons, healed leprosy. He heard about him. Didn't know about him, but he heard about him. Then it says that as he heard about him, he says that he cried out. He cried out. When he heard that Jesus was coming in his vicinity, he said he cried out. Why did he cry out? Because he had a need. He had a need, and he knew that only Jesus Christ could fulfill that need. He knew that. How did he know it? How did he know it? Because the faith inside of him said, I've heard all of these accounts what Jesus has done. And if Jesus had done them for them, he can do it for me too. So I got faith in this man that I have never met. All the things that I've heard about him. All the things that I've heard about him from other people. Did you hear what I said? From other people, not from Jesus, not from angels, but everything that I heard about him from other people. What if other people didn't say nothing? He'd have been sitting there. He'd have been sitting there. Jesus would have came. He wouldn't know who Jesus was, would not have cried out, but he cried out. And it says that when he cried out, he said, Jesus, thou son of David. How did he know to call him thou son of David? Why didn't he call him Jesus like everybody else? Because blind Bartimaeus knew something. See, thou son of David was his messianic name. Thou son of David, that's his messianic title. He knew something about Jesus. Evidently, this is not the first time that he heard about Jesus for him to cry out like that. Thou son of David. Have mercy on me. And we all know what mercy is. I don't deserve it. Oh, I do deserve it. I do deserve it. But please don't give me what I deserve. When we go to court and we're guilty of the sin or of whatever it is we go to court with, we cry out to the judge. Judge, have mercy on me. I know I did it, but please have some mercy on me. I'm sorry. I've seen the errors of my ways and I won't do it again. Just have some mercy on me. I know I deserve the punishment. I did it. I deserve it. But Lord, have mercy on me. You the one who can show mercy to me. So evidently, he heard about somebody that Jesus had mercy on before. He heard it from somebody. Amen? I'm going somewhere with this. Just hold on with me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. They said, shut up. Don't be crying out to this man. Don't you know who this man is? Now, these people that was telling him to be quiet, why were they telling him to be quiet? Because they felt that he was not enough to be calling on the Messiah. He was just a blind beggar. We've been seeing him for years. He'd been sitting in the same spot. Day after day, week after week, year after year, begging. But he heard about somebody who could get him out of that situation. He says, O son of David, have mercy on me, please. And Jesus stood still. I love that. Now, Jesus was on his way to the cross, had his disciples with him, had followers with him, had all of those who had been following him for curiosity or wanting some or just want to be near him. But Jesus stopped because he heard this one man cry out to him. Every Tuesday night, we have prayer meeting right here. And you know what? God stands still every Tuesday at 6 o'clock, and he hears our prayers. How good is that? How good is that? That we can come in the presence of God Almighty, and we can cry out to him, and he will stand still and hear our prayers. And that's not only just in the church. You can do it at your home. You can do it driving down the street. You can do it in the supermarket or wherever you might be. When we cry out to him, when we cry out to him, he will stop and hear our prayers. Then it says that Jesus stood still and commanded him. And commanded him to be called. Commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he called thee. Now, they were telling him before, be quiet, shut up. But when Jesus spoke and made a commandment, says, bring him here. Bring him here to me. Now, all of a sudden, the whole attitude changed. Oh, be of good cheer, brother. He's calling you. And it says, and he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. When he heard that Jesus said, bring him here, he got up and said, from the place that he had been in for many, many years, of blindness, of hopelessness, of not having enough, he got up out of that position and he cast off that old robe that he had on, because he knew Jesus had something else new for him. Amen. When Jesus called you, the Bible says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes through the Father except through me. When I call you out of darkness, you got to arise and come. Because if you arise and come, I got a blessing for you that you cannot even fathom. Your eyes not seen, your ears not heard, your mind is not conceived, it's not moved on your heart. The blessings I have for you and for those who love me, if you come to me. In the book of Matthew 11:28, it says, all you who are labored, come unto me, all you who are labored and heavy laden. And he said, and I will give you rest. You see, Jesus is always calling. He's always telling you to come. Always. But do we have ears to hear it? And if we do have ears to hear it, do we have a mindset to obey it? Said he rose up. Never met the man, but he heard about him. It was his only hope. Said he stood up and it says, and he cast away his garment and rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, what would thou that I should do unto you? Jesus said, what do you want me to do? Jesus knew that he was blind. Do you know that? Jesus knew that he was blind. But he asked him, what do you want from me? I would have said, Jesus, what do you think? I'm blind. I got a need. But you know what? Jesus wants us to confess what we want. You have not because you ask not. You hear what I'm saying? Some of us are missing out on so many blessings because we have not asked God to have mercy on us. Have not asked for to be delivered. Have not asked to be saved from hell. Have not asked that. We go on day after day after day after day on our merry way, living our life, not thinking about eternity. This life here is just for a brief moment. Eternity is forever. And we're going to spend eternity one place or another. There's no gray area there. There's no in-between area there. There's no waiting area in between there. When we take our last breath, either we go into heaven or we go into hell. Now, you can believe that if you want to, but I'm going to tell you something. That ain't nothing to gamble on, because we're talking about eternity. But anyway, here we go. Here we go. And he says, what will thou that I should have you to do? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Lord, I've been blind from birth. I've never seen the sunrise or the sunset. I've never seen my mother and my father's face. I've never seen things that everybody else has seen. I have a need, Lord. I have a deficit, Lord, and nobody can give me this here but you. Nobody can give this to me to you. And you know how I know that he had that in his mindset? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Go thy way. I want you to go the way that you're going, because thy faith hath made thee whole. Because you had that much belief in me. Because you had that much faith in me, and you didn't know me, you've never met me before, but what you heard from other people, your faith has risen to a point where I'm going to give you what you asked for. Oh, how good is that? I'm going to give you what you asked for. I'm going to give you for the need that you have. That's what I'm going to do for you, because you believe that I can do it. You believe that I can do it. You're not going to be talked out of it. They told you to be quiet, and you cried out the louder. You cried out the louder because you knew that you knew that you knew that I was your only hope to get what you need. Every one of us in here have a need. Everyone in here has a need. I don't know what your need is, but Jesus does, but he wants us to vocalize it. He wants us to tell him what you need. Amen. So he can hear it yourself. Because you know why he wanted to let you know that you have a deficiency, that you're not self-sufficient in your life. And only Jesus Christ can feel that need. Nobody else but Jesus Christ. That's why we're so adamant here about the church, about preaching and teaching the word of God plainly. That we're Jesus Christ, period. You know, we don't have a whole bunch of stuff that's going on. We just plain everyday people who love Jesus and love one another. We have our issues. We have our disagreements. Absolutely we do. But one thing about us, we love Jesus. And when you walk through them doors, we're going to love you too. And listen to what it says. And he says, Jesus said to him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately, what no pausing, what no waiting, immediately he received his sight. How do you think that man felt when he was able to look at the face of his mother and father, when he could look at the birds and the trees, when he could look at all the people that have been passing by him as he was sitting there begging all of these years? How do you think that man felt? Oh, he was overjoyed. He was overjoyed. But remember, Jesus said, I want you to go your way. Go thy way, he said, because your faith has made you whole. And it says that, and immediately he received his sight, and he went the way of Jesus. He followed Jesus. He followed Jesus. When Jesus opened up his eyes, the need that he had, the one that could only do whatever he could do. Now, he got what he wanted. Jesus told him, go your way. Blind Bartimaeus said, no. The only way I'm going now is with you, because I know you are everything that I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want nothing. Nothing. So I'm going to follow you, Jesus. You bless me. You've given me something that I've never had in my life. And from this day forward, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. Because I know that you're the one. You're the only one that can satisfy me. You're the only one can give me what I've been searching for all of my life. He opened up his eyes. You see, his natural eyes. But you know what? As you read this, he had to have his spiritual eyes open to have that faith in Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? A lot of them that was following Jesus, that could see Jesus, that could see the sunrise, see the sunset, see their mother and father's face, they had natural eyesight, but they didn't have the spiritual eyesight. We need to have the spiritual eyesight, church. We need that. Because the spiritual is more prevalent and real than what you see and hear. Do you know that? When you start walking in the Spirit and your spirit is alive, you know, and your eye, spirit eyes open, your spirit ears is open, it's much more real than you hearing my voice now. It's much more real than you're looking at me in my green suit. And you know why I wore this green suit again? Because Liza's favorite color was green. Yep, her mother told me, she said, I wore a green suit last week. And Liza's mother said, can you wear that again next week? I said, I ain't gonna wear this one, but I got another one. You know, we're gonna honor her with our green. I said, you got on green too. She'd have loved that. She'd have loved that. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. But y'all understand what I said here today. He spoke. He spoke to Jesus and told Jesus what he wanted. And Jesus gave him what he asked for. There's power in the tongue. He says, I've come to give you, set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Choose life. What are you going to choose today, church? Are you going to choose life? And the only life that you're going to live is in Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. That's the only life that makes any sense or any difference is life in Jesus. Because as I told you, I don't care how smart you are, how cute you might be, how strong you might be, how rich you might be. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, let me tell you something. When you take your last breath, it's not going to be good. Trust me. The Bible says it's a lake of fire. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There'll be being tormented for eternity. I don't know about you, but I'm going to choose life. I'm going to choose blessings. I'm going to follow Jesus. As I say, I'm not perfect. None of y'all are too. We all got issues and struggles. But we got to be real about who we're following. We got to be real about who we have faith in. There's a lot of stuff out here about faith. You can go to a bookstore and there's a YouTube and you hear faith, faith, faith. Faith in what? There's only faith in one, and his name is Jesus. Psalms 118:8, middle of the Bible. It's better to put trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. And that's me and anybody else. Better you put your trust in the Lord. Put your confidence in the Lord. Because he's the only one. I can't save you. I had people come up to me tomorrow. Oh, Pastor, you saved me. You saved me. I'm looking at him. I said, no, I didn't save you. Then I see him run around drunk. I said, well, maybe I did. Y'all didn't get that, did you? You know, I can't save myself. Let's not save somebody else. Only one that saves it, his name is Jesus. Only one that saves it, his name is Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. He saw Jesus. This is good. When his eyes was open and he followed Jesus, you know where he followed him to? You know where he followed him to, James? I'm going to tell you. He followed him to the cross. He saw Jesus get nailed to the cross. All the years that he couldn't see anything, Jesus gave him eyes to see him, paid a sin debt for him and the world. How good is that? All of his life, he could not see nothing. But he saw Jesus pay his sin debt in full. How great is that? Have you seen Jesus pay your sin debt in full? You know, somebody was talking to me today about forgiving ourselves. For many years, I didn't forgive myself for all the things that I did in my life. You know, I hadn't always been a pastor, just in case y'all don't know that. You know, there's things that I've done in my life that has not been good at all. But when I came to Christ and surrendered my life to Him, He forgave me of those things. They were nailed to the cross. But I didn't forgive myself. I was still in bondage. I was still in bondage. I was saved now. Ain't no doubt about that. But I was still feeling guilt. I was still feeling shame. That guilt and shame was nailed to the cross. And I remember the Holy Spirit tapped me on my shoulder and said, "Don't think more highly than yourself than you ought, Mr. Man. If Jesus forgave you, who do you think you are not to forgive yourself?" That's a word for somebody here today. That's a word for somebody here today. Because somebody here has been holding on to stuff that you might have done in the past, and you've not been free. But you know, when you get with Jesus, not only you're free indeed. You're free indeed. You know, I'm able to walk now with a made up mind that I'm free from that. That's not me anymore. That person is dead. That person is dead, gone. The enemy tries to rise him up every now and then. Every now and then he tried to rise him up and whisper in my ear, you know, "Who do you think that you are preaching to people all the stuff that you've done? Go up there to Brookside and talk to one of them tombstones. Because I'm a new creation in Christ. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new." Every day, I'm walking in the newness of Christ. Someday I kind of slip a little bit. But when I do slip, I get back up. Though a righteous man falls, sometimes he gets back up. That's a word for somebody too. Because somebody has probably done something that you shouldn't have been done, and you're feeling condemned. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Remember that. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we've all done stuff. And not only that, we all are going to do some stuff. Because we're on this side of glory. We're all going to have wrong choices and bad decisions that we make. Because we're on this side of glory. But we're not going to continue to make the wrong choices and bad decisions that we used to make. We're walking in the newness of life. David, thou son of David, have mercy on me. How many people in here need mercy? Amen. Amen. Have mercy on me. I did it. I deserve the punishment, but Lord, I ask you to have mercy on me today. I want you to open up my eyes so I'll know that I know that I know that you are the Son of God. I know that you're the Messiah. I know that you're the only one who can give me that joy unspeakable, that peace that surpasses all understanding. I know you're the only one, Lord. But I need to have my eyes open to know that I know that I know, and can not continue to go up and down, up and down, up and down. You know, oh, one day I'm blessed, next day I'm, oh, one day I'm, oh. He said, "I come and give you life and life more abundantly." That's what he said, ain't he? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Because he has a promise for you. Jeremiah 29:11. He said, "The thoughts I have for you is thoughts of peace and not of evil. Thoughts of an expected end." He has an expected end for each and every one of us. He loves you more than you can ever imagine. If you're here this morning and you have never accepted Jesus, you might have known about him, like this man. He knew about him because of what other people said. But you got to have a personal experience with him yourself, just like he did. He had a personal experience with Jesus. When he cried out, Jesus said, "Bring him here. Bring him here in front of me. So he can not only know about me, but he will know me. He will know me as his Lord and Savior, as his healer, his provider, his joy, his peace. Bring him here." And he said he cast out his old garment, that old filthy, raggedy nature of life that he was living. Because Jesus had that robe of righteousness on him. Oh, I don't know about you, but ain't nothing better than getting rid of that old thing. Stinking thinking. Things that we used to do in our life that we shouldn't be doing. Get rid of all of that and walk in the newness of Christ. Said he followed Jesus. He didn't go back his own way. Jesus told him, you can go on your own way. Go your own way. Uh-uh, Jesus. I'm going with you. I'm following you. Are we following Jesus this morning, church? Got a little quiet, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're here this morning, once again, if you're here this morning and you need mercy, you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus, not just a hearsay, a faraway say, but a personal relationship with Jesus, because he's the only one can give you what you need. And then once he gives you what you need, you'll say, you know something? This is something I've been wanting all my life. I just didn't know it. Just didn't know it. You know, them drugs and alcohol and pornography and all that type of stuff that I was trying to, thought I wanted, thought I needed. You're the only one, Jesus. So from this day forward, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go in your way, not mine. If you're here this morning, and the Holy Spirit is convicting you, or something is prompting you, say, you know what? I need to do better. I need mercy. I need grace. I need Jesus in a way that I've never received him. A lot of you have been coming to church week after week, month after month, year after year. But do you know him personally? Only you know, or you might think that you do, because many are deceived. Many are deceived. Many are on that broad road thinking they're on their way to heaven and they're on the road to destruction. But there's few that find that narrow way. There's few that find that narrow way. And I want all of us to be that few. So if you're here this morning and you have any doubt, we say, well, Pastor, I think I am. I want to be. Maybe. That ain't good enough. That's not good enough. You can have that blessed assurance to know that you know that you know that if you take your last breath right now, you'll be with Jesus. You know, the funerals I do, if I do a funeral for somebody that I don't know if they're saved or not, you know, I have to say, I hope, I pray. But when we do Liza's funeral, her celebration life, ain't no hope and I pray. We know that you know that she knows she with Jesus. We know that. Ain't no doubt about that with Liza. That's confident. That gives me joy to do this service here. I'm happy to do this service here. Because we know that Liza's with Jesus. She loved her some Jesus. She'd sit right here. Sometimes then she'd sit over there. You know. And I tell you, we love Liza. Because Liza, she no telling what she might say. And I love that about her. I love that about her. Or she'd say, ah. Or here we go again. Oh, Pastor. Yeah. Oh, Pastor. Oh, geez. Yeah. Yep. 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 I love that. I love that. You know. Absolutely. So, you know, when you do your service, because let me tell you, ain't no if, but when your time comes. You know, if I'm still around, praise the Lord, but maybe not. But whoever it is that does your service, we want them to say, I know that I know that I know that they knew Jesus. And we're having a celebration for them. So if you're here today and you don't have that mindset, like I say, maybe might, I don't know, ain't good enough. Come and let the mercy of Jesus be upon you today. Come and let the mercy of Jesus be upon you today. Not to give you what you deserve, because we all deserve one-way ticket to hell express. But because of the mercy and the grace and the sacrifice and the love of Jesus, we can say without a shadow of a doubt, I'm going to be with Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if you're here today and you have any doubt, you can get that doubt out of you. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Your seat getting a little warm. Heart beating a little fast. You're saying, I know I need to be up there. I know I need to be up there. Take a deep breath and just stand up and come on down. And don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. He wasn't ashamed of you. Just get up and come on down. Come on. We'll wait for you. Amen. Is there anybody else? Amen. That you know that you should be. Come on, brother. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else that's in here today? We'll wait for you, brother. Amen. Let me tell you something. This might be your last opportunity. Nobody knows the day or the hour. Nobody knows the day or the hour when you take your last breath. This could be your last day. Make sure, before you leave out here today, that you yield your life to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, today. I've been running for years. I got doubt and I got questions about my eternity. You don't have to have any doubt. No questions. You can know that you know that you know. That when I leave here, that's when you have joy and peace. Is to know that you know that you know when you take your last breath, you're going to be with Jesus. Amen. Just have a seat right there, my brother. Amen. Amen.
And I thank God for my own face. Amen. I'm tired of being around my friends, seeing them drinking, treating me bad. And I just got my place and I said, Lord, I got to go with God.
Amen.
God is the only one that loves me. I'm just tired of being around with friends, drinking, treating me. I'm tired of it.
She asked the Lord to go.
I'm tired. That's why I came here to God, because I'm tired.
Amen.
And I just want to be happy.
Praise the Lord. This is what I'm talking about, church. Right here.
That is how they hear the couple.
Praise the Lord.
I've been struggling, but thank God. I've been reading the Bible, and God talked to me and say, I'm here, Mary.
Amen.
For you.
What is your name?
My real name is Anna, but I like to be called Mary.
Mary. All right, Mary.
I just moved across the street.
Okay.
God gave me a place.
Amen.
I'm so grateful for God.
Amen. Amen. And He brought you here this morning.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. All right. So I want you to come over here with me. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Let's make a little circle here. Scoot on around. Hold Peggy's hand. Hold her sister's hand. Now I want us to pray this prayer. I want you to pray this prayer with me. I want you to pray this prayer with me, okay? Now, there's others out here that need to be up here too. And you know who you are. But pray this prayer with us. Please pray this prayer with us and mean it in your heart. Not just don't say it, but mean it. Just like blind Bartimaeus, he meant it. Have mercy on me, Lord. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. I'm asking you to have mercy on me and take this old nature out of me. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, but this day I'm asking you to forgive me of all my sins, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. This day I believe Jesus is the Son of God. that he died on the cross, that he shed his blood for my sins. He rose again on that third day, and that he's seated in heaven next to our Heavenly Father. This day is the best day of my life, because I receive this gift of salvation by faith in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Mary, we are your family. Come here, girl. You're my sister now. All of these are your brothers and your sisters in the Lord. And you say, you've been reading the Bible. Do you have a Bible?
Yes.
Okay, great. Great. Continue to read the Bible. Start the book of John.
All right.
All right. Now, and if you next, you cross the street over here.
Yeah.
We want to see you every
okay.
week.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
We have Bible study on Tuesday. I mean, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. You know, we have a prayer meeting on 6. So just come on over. No, women's meeting is not Monday. We got a women's meeting on Friday. Friday at 1 o'clock.
Okay, just let me
Friday at 1 o'clock. Okay, we'll be. Yeah. Get the bulletin.
Okay.
Get your glasses.
I feel much better. I need on these eyes.
Praise the Lord. I feel better too. See, that's what I'm talking about right there. I'm talking about that right there. You can't get no better than this. You can't get no better than this. You know how good God is. I want to thank all of y'all for being here and for praying for me. And as I say, you know, Tuesday morning, I got to be there at 6:30. So y'all get up about 5. No, just keep me in prayer. You know, this time next week, I'm going to be running marathons. And then I'll wake up. But no, I'm looking to press through this thing here. You know what I mean? And get on the other side of it. You know what I mean? So I don't be hobbling around and carrying on. And y'all keep asking, Pastor, what's wrong with you? Pastor, what's wrong with you? You know, ain't nothing wrong with me. All is well. So praise the Lord. But anyway, let's remember men. For the men's advance, sign up over there. And if you don't have enough money to go, see Don Foote. Raise your hand, Don Foote. All right. And then Denny on the other side. He got two of them booking. Raise your hand, Dennis. There's Dennis over there. See one of them, and they'll get you the finances, you know, to go to our men's meeting. But I want to thank you. And the women's meeting is coming up also, the women's advance also. We don't use retreat. We use advance because we want to advance in Jesus. We don't want to retreat from Jesus. We want to advance in Jesus. Amen? So, Father, we come before you today giving you honor, glory, and praise. We want to say thank you, Lord, for being God. We thank you, Father God, for Mary being here and all those who came forth here today, Lord, as the Holy Spirit. And those who prayed that prayer that didn't come up here. We ask, oh, Father God, that you will honor them, honor their faith. We ask, oh, Lord, that we'll walk out of here not the way we walked in, that we remember what we heard today, Lord, and meditate on it. I ask, oh, Father, for traveling mercy for everybody going home. I ask, oh, Lord Jesus, that you would just give us what we need to follow you each and every day, Lord. How you want us to follow us, when you want us to follow us. And Lord, that we may live our life to bring glory to your name. And I pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. 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 Thank you all for coming. God bless you. I'm so happy.